Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And now, live from Wonderverse in Oak Brook, it's time for the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago and by TimberTech Decking and Railing. Here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and filling in for Mully, it's Lawrence Holmes on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
What an absolute heartbreaking loss for the Chicago Bears when almost everything seemed to go their way until the very end of that game. Welcome in to the Great Clips postgame show presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago and TimberTech Decking and Railing. Bears lose 20-19. We are going to take your phone calls at 312-644-6767. Again, that's 312-644-6767. Patrick, I'm going to start with you. You are our special teams guru. It looked like they were setting up for this to be a really incredible victory for the Bears. What happened on the field goal?
The left side. I watched the whole game. They were giving pressure up on the left side the entire time. Olin and I were just watching it. And I said, be aware on the left side.
Yeah,
and it's on the left. It's on the left hash. Normally, the team is going to rush from the right side, but they had scouted something, obviously, to come through the left side. Normally, if you're kicking on the left hash, you're getting rushed on your right side. And they realized that A-gap was weak, and that's what happened.
Man, that is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Like, they did a lot of things really well in this game, and it looked like, for once, something silly that the other coach does is going to be something that allows you to win the game. And yet, here we are with the Bears losing this game to the Packers.
Yeah, it's twice now that you watch them play and you watch Caleb Williams do what Ryan Poles talked about. Lean on his teammates. And when it's time to do the special, he did the special. Right? The 3rd and 19, they convert it. And they move them downfield and they put them in field goal range. And again, situational football, Pat, whether it be the Hail Mary or field goal at the end of the game and they're coming after you, they get blocked and they lose two games like that now, two heartbreakers. Mm-hmm. They've lost it. And a game that, again, you're ready to do the postgame show and you're ready to talk about how excited you are about what you saw from the young quarterback developing, getting the ball out, making the plays when he had to, beating man coverage when he had to, making the throws that need to be made to win the games. And he's done that a couple times this year and still lost the game. So situational football at the end of the game, what doorstep does that fall on? And we all know where that falls. That falls right on Coach Eberflus' doorstep, and they have to take a look at, Pat, practicing end-of-the-game situations and how important it is to do your job. And we've heard this word from them up there a lot this week, right? The details of every play.
Yep. Yep.
And Pat is standing there, Lawrence, like he just
telling
said.
You what the details
he's telling
are.
Me they're gonna rush the left side. They got to be stout there. A lot to talk about in this game, a lot to unpack, but they lose another heartbreaker.
Guys, this is a game. You go back to the Commanders game. It's the same feeling, right?
Yes.
You were excited about Caleb in the fourth quarter leading you down to win the game. We've got the game won. Same thing here. He scores points at halftime, goes down here to get a chance to win the game, and at the end of the game, they can't get it done. They can't protect on the field goal. This is just – it's heartbreaking because we thought we saw strides in young number 18.
And we did.
That's what I'm saying. We did. But then all of a sudden, these little things happen. These little details happen to set us back, to set him back. And his story should be written differently right now.
Oh, yeah, two games.
Yes,
there's two games where Ryan Poles has to change it now. He says, lean on your teammates, do the special. And then your teammates have to do their job after that.
That's right.
Right, and they have to lean on him. And again, like Pat is saying, you're sitting in that room and you're thinking to yourself, I can't wait till they tell us I told you so.
Yes.
I can't wait till they take their victory lap. I hope they do. Right, I hope they do take their victory lap. Well-deserved. Two games now you're watching and you're thinking that they're going to win this game. They're fighting tooth and nail. They're doing a lot of little things right. They get the red zone turnover that they needed to be in this game against the Packers. Their run defense was decent, right? Byard showed up to stop the run. Their D-line was playing tough. Walker makes a play on a two-point conversion to give them a chance to win that game. And yet again, we talk about a lot on these shows. You've heard me and Pat talk about this a lot. It took a long time to learn how to win in the NFL. It takes a long time to learn. This team has to learn how to win football games, and eventually, they have to look at each other and they're to say, look, we have to do better. Our teammates, everybody on this team has to do better so we win football games at the end of the game.
I'm going to say something situational football. I'm going to go a little nerdy on special teams again because Olin was asking, when you set up that field goal, you normally go to your kicker and you understand which hash you want the ball on. I know in the past, I know for a fact, when Kyra first got here, he liked the right hash on his PATs. He would always like it on the right hash, just the way he kicked the ball. I'm wondering if they put it on the left hash, knowing they were weak on that side, because normally if you have the ball on the left side, like I said, they rush from the offense's right side. But they kept a lot of rushes on that left side. I don't know. That's just disappointing. Those are details. Those are details we're talking about. I'm waiting to – hopefully the game will show up my iPad here shortly. I don't want to watch more of that play. But those are just little details that need to be taken care of, and I'm wondering if that's why they had it on the left hash.
Would you have liked to have seen them run one more play in that last, 40-second window that they had? Or did they run the operation correctly to get the field goal distance that they wanted?
Yeah, you always want more yards, right? I know running out there with Robbie or whoever the kicker was, you always would like with the offense to get a couple more yards. But Cairo gets paid and paid well to make that kick, and that's part of the job too. I also want to see if it's a little low. To me, I would say if you're below 48 yards, especially now with these kickers, you should go ahead and make that kick. And I just don't know. I want to see the video. I know there was pressure up the middle. Was it a combination of being low and pressure? But from what I've just seen from those couple replays, it looked like they got pretty good pressure in there.
312-644-6767. We look forward to taking your phone calls here on the Great Clips postgame show presented by Sony Pictures, Wonderverse, Chicago, and TimberTech Decking and Railing. I'm Lawrence Holmes sitting in for Mully. I got Olin. I got Patrick here. We're going to be with you for the next couple of hours. Olin, I want to go back to what you were saying about how this game, for the most part, feels really good.
Yes.
That you have some things happen inside of this game. You get a turnover on downs. You get an interception in the red zone. Mm-hmm. Both of those things for your defense. But then you give up a big play.
You do.
You give a big play that allows them to get into
scoring. And it's your best player.
Right?
It's your best player. Right? And it gives a good big play to Watson. They get aggressive. They blitz. They go man. Right? And the field gets a Johnson. That's part of it. Right? We're all playing on the same field. And it's just, they still hold this Packers offense to 20. They did a better job against the run than I thought they would do without Billings. They played aggressive. They played tough. They were playing hard football. The offense was better, obviously. Still under 20 points. Offense still under 20 points in the game. That's still a fact, right? We still got to find points, no matter how many yards. I mean, I think they were 9 for 16 on third down. Amazing job by Caleb. Using his legs versus man coverage, noticing that. Versus zone, finding the holes in the zone. I thought he played a lot better football today than we've seen him play over the last weeks. He did the special when it was time. The pass rush overwhelmed the O-line just only late in the game. Before that, they were doing fine, right? But like an old O-line coach should tell me, that's when we get paid. Mm-hmm. At the end of the game is when you get paid to make your blocks, right? So we got to get better at that. But the defense, man, I mean, with Billings out – I thought they missed Brisker a little bit today. I thought Byard.
Absolutely.
I thought Byard, man, I thought he played hard against the run. I thought he put his big boy pads on. I thought the whole defense did. After that first drive when they were just running the ball, Josh Jacobs, tough running back. Really tough game to lose. Tough for the Bears fans to lose that game. Needed a win like that. Needed a win like that to pick up the organization again. But if there's a little sunshine in the clouds, it's the young quarterback's play today. That is what we're watching. That is what we're paying attention to.
All right, so look, you guys are both captains. You have a loss like this. What are the things that you're saying if you're on this team to Caleb to make sure that he stays engaged and say, hey, you know, this game could have easily been our game? How do you approach that when you're trying to make sure that everyone stays engaged because they got a game next week?
That's, I mean, my response obviously would be different than Olin because he's dealing with the quarterback all the time. But I'm just, if I'm an older guy, I'm just saying, man, you played a hell of a game. And for me, being the special teams player, I'm like, I'm sorry we came up short. Yeah, we need to do a better job of, you know, you put us in position to win this game. We didn't get it done. But we got your back. We'll get it done next time. But just, you know, you played a great game, man. I just for what he did bouncing back, for what we've seen the last 3 weeks, I thought he had a darn good game. And it was just – it's just unfortunate the special teams let him down.
Honestly, at this point, right, these are four losses in a row. Those are two heartbreaking losses. Like, anything you say doesn't carry any weight.
Right.
Right? What I do is I show up first tomorrow morning, I lift weights. Right? I get in a call, I just go back to work. You know, I watch this film, and I just okay, I need to do this better. We as the O-line group need to do this better. We need to block this play better. I got to work with my – but – The talking is – it really, when you're on a four-game losing streak, you can't talk your way out of it, right? There's really nothing to say, right? Like, he apologized to the team. He's working harder. I don't have to tell him I noticed that. He showed us out there on
true.
The field. So, I think no one could argue the offense wasn't better today.
Absolutely.
Right? Thomas Brown did a nice job with his motions, with spacing with the receivers, with getting guys open. The toss crack was a beautiful play call. Nice block by Braxton Jones. They were calling the right plays on third down. They were keeping themselves doing the smart thing like you heard Tom Brady talk about a lot. Get yourself in position to convert those third downs, right? And they were doing that. And it looked like they told Caleb, like, when it's your time to use your legs, use them. Right?
Out of there. Don't play around with it. Just get out of there.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, on that last drive, there were some of the things that we've seen in the last couple of weeks where he ends up getting sacked a couple times and you're trying to let routes develop and maybe they don't – the ball doesn't come out as quickly as it had been earlier in the game.
But, you know, as an offensive line, you know, like, you want the ball to come out quickly, right? But as an offensive line, you know when it's time, right? There's play calls, you know, by the situation and the play that they call, you know when he's holding the ball a little longer. And they'll let you know. And that's when you got to win, right? That's when we got to win those one-on-one blocks. That's when the offensive line has to win there. And look, they're down. Give Kern some credit. They're down to their what is that? What is that now? Their fourth left guard, and he's playing tackle. So it's really you're searching for words for how tough of a loss this is.
So, look, we are on Twitch, and we appreciate everyone who is watching on Twitch right now. That's Olin. That's Patrick. Patrick is literally looking at the film of the final kick right now. So, as you're watching this back, you've watched it back three or four times now, Patrick. What do you see?
Bad technique by the left guard, long snapper, and right guard. That's all it is. You got to keep your pads down. You got to understand this kick, it's way different. The effort on this is way different as far as blocking.
Why?
They're going way harder. It's a game-winning kick. I'm telling you,
every piece of energy that you still have, you're giving
them. It's so accelerated. You got to, you know, your spike steps got to be better. You got to have your pads a little lower. You almost have to come off the ball. You on a field goal block, or if you're blocking for a field goal, you're not taught to come off the ball. But knowing what they're trying to do in that situation, you've got to keep lower, get their inside spike step down. You like when I say spike step down quicker and keep their pads lower and come off the ball a little bit. It's just the three in the middle just got blown up, and that's what happened.
Snap a little high?
No.
Is on point?
Snap was down.
Okay.
Snap was down. And Scott got blown up a little bit there. And then, you know, the guards, they got to help him, but he's also got to – again, that's one where you as a snapper got to put your head down a little bit more and make it the leverage on your back to getting you kind of rolled out there a lot harder.
So, Pat, just like in offense and defense, on special teams, Do you talk about the situational game-winning field goal and the way to block that?
Yes, you do. Okay. You should, yes. Okay. I mean, and those are a couple guys in there that have been there a few times.
Okay, so the guys have been there playing those positions.
Yes. So you got Pryor and Borum in there.
Is that where Tevin usually would be?
Yes. Yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah. You've got two backups in there. Yeah. But they've done it enough. They should know. But you've been in those situations, and you feel that it's like on a fourth and short. It's just when you know you have the quarterback sneak.
Yeah, I mean, I just – you know, I would say, look, there's supposed to be a second-round pick in there and a $10 million right guard.
Yeah.
Right? And instead we have Borum and Pryor who, you know, it's just – it's again, it goes back to we talk about the plan. The plan for the offensive line isn't there, and now you got two guys in there that you didn't count on being in there to start the season. If we're kicking a game-winning field goal versus the Green Bay Packers, we'll have Tevin Jenkins and Nate Davis in there, and we'll feel pretty comfortable about that kick.
312-644-6767 is the number if you would like to join the show. Let's go to Bill. Hey, Bill, you're on the score.
Hey, guys. Tough loss and some good stuff out of Caleb, but honestly – I can live with this because I'm just so tired of Flus, and I just don't think he's going to turn it around. And, you know, if they won this game, Georgia and Virginia would be like, oh, he's a genius. He beat the Packers for the first time in 6 years. And, you know, he was not coaching like a genius today. He hasn't for weeks. And it was a tough loss, but I'm okay with it from a weird level. So thanks, guys.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate it. It's weird, right, because you know, we're sitting here, and we kind of have all of us have feelings about Matt Eberflus and the job that he's done. But you look at this game and you feel like things moved in the right direction. People all week, whether it was people like me, people like you guys, saying, you know what they need to do? They need to get the ball out quicker. Mm-hmm. Caleb needs to get the ball out quicker. Thomas Brown, in 4 days, put together an offense that did that, that capitalized on it. Now, look, it's going to be on film. The Vikings are probably going to have something for the Bears next week. But you saw progress. You saw actual progress. And so it's heartbreaking because you saw a lot of the good that could be with this team. You saw DJ Moore run after catch. You saw, you know, Keenan Allen, even though he's clearly hurting, coming up with a huge catch for you to put you in position to. We saw them use Roschon Johnson correctly. We saw thunder and lightning with him and DeAndre Swift. We saw a lot of good in this game, and it just feels so empty because of how the game ends.
Yep. And listen, when you lose by 1 point, you go all the way back and you say, okay, how could we have won the game? First touchdown by the Packers. 12 men on the field, they get to take a shot. Right? We heard all week about the details, about holding each other accountable, about all these things they're talking about. Right? And look, like Lawrence just said, would love to come out here and just give everyone their flowers. Mm-hmm. Right? After a win. But it doesn't happen because the details. You don't get your pads low on the end of a field goal and it gets blocked. You have 12 men on the field. Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers have been doing that. They snapped the ball early. Right, like you, that is known. If they see you running somewhere on the field, and they haven't subbed, they're gonna snap the ball early, get a flag, and now they get to take a shot into the end zone. And Jaden Reed gets the first touchdown. It's 7-0. That if you don't get that play and you home to a field goal there, who knows, right? So they all again because of the loss. Like after the Washington, you know, even after the Washington game, right? Pat, we said, man. Like, they may have lost, but that quarterback.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Like he played good. Mm-hmm. Right? But there's a lot of other people around there that have to start doing their jobs.
Yep. Yeah, and it just, you know, it's just amazing how the narrative changed, just like that Commanders game. We talked about
like
this
that.
Game. Just like that. And then, we, you know, I'm sitting here looking at the stats, looking at what Caleb did, looking at how DeAndre Swift and Roschon Johnson, you know, both had kind of split carries of 14 and 10. And then we talked about in the back room there watching the game that there hasn't been an identity on this offense. Now, today, it looked like an identity. They looked like more like you knew what they were going to do, and they're just going to try to, you know, run Roschon. You saw what they were going to do, and it looked a little more competent, and I was hoping that's what we were going to be talking about, and we're not. And it is unfortunate.
312-644-6767 is the number out to Northfield and Cullen. Cullen, you're on the post-game show.
Hey guys, I appreciate all the notes from one of the best long snappers of all time. I appreciate what Olin's saying. Guys, I'm hoarse and I haven't yelled all year because I expected to lose some games. This is beyond because it was arrogance from a loser coach who has no business in that position. He should have been out of here. finding a way to not use the time to get a little closer for this team against the Packers. And I don't even care if we had lost both games against the Packers, but the way we're losing, it shows me that there's arrogance in this moron. And that combination is awful. It's inexcusable. And we got to move on from this guy. He is not the answer. He won't be. I'd love to see them break tradition and get rid of him now. It's not going to happen. It makes me sick to my stomach, to my core. And it drives me nuts. I'm done. That's it.
Cullen, thank you very much. I mean, I totally get the frustration, man. Like, this was supposed to be a party today. Like, this was...
I told you so, party.
Yes.
Well, yeah. They rubbed it in everyone's face, and I would have loved it. Right? Like, tell us to shut up. Right? I would have loved that. Like, just go get that win. They played pretty good ball, but to Cullen's point, we've heard so much about details, and yet today you still saw penalties. Right? You still saw, we just talked about the 12 men on the field. You still saw all these little things. You're wondering, man, it's from the older guys, too.
Yes.
That is what's interesting. I mean, when you watch it, right? And his frustration is those are two heartbreaking losses now, and obviously the fans feel it. The fans feel the heartbreaking loss. I know me and Pat standing there watching the field goal, I have to ask him what happened there. And he's like, they missed. Like, I couldn't believe that they missed that field goal. I thought Santos was going to put that through, and we're going to have a good post-game show here. Instead, this year, which has been extremely frustrating, with a lot of talking, guys getting fired. Now, again, we have to talk about the plays you didn't make to lose by 1 point, and we're going to hear all about how guys should get fired up there.
Yeah, it's a devastating loss. This one, I think the Washington game is going to be the one everybody remembers for this year, but this game is up there. It is up there for me just from how excited I was walking around that back room thinking this was going to be a win to seeing what happens, and obviously being a special teams guy, that breaks my heart to see that happen.
Oh, I think the Washington one is like the big one. Yep. I think that people will remember nationally.
Yes.
I think Chicago fans are going to remember this one because you almost had it.
Yep.
That you were right there. You could have beaten
and
the
it
Packers.
Would have been another great storyline for Caleb. That
100%.
He took him down to win a game. And that's what Ryan Pohl said he drafted the guy to do, is to win games in the fourth quarter. He would have done it in the Commanders game, and he would have done it here.
And you know that Bears fans are just sick walking out of Soldier Field. Like,
oh,
they're just,
man, that's quiet.
They're just sick because
we're sick sitting in here.
Yeah,
I'm sick.
Burkhart and Brady were talking about it during the game. They're like, hey, the people are just standing up. Like, it's a party atmosphere here, and then for it to come down to a last play, and we've seen last plays not go very well for this Bears team. It just really, really stinks. Shad is on the south side. What's up, Shad? You're on the Great Clips postgame show.
I wish I had an opportunity to talk to three legends in a better circumstance, but what we call coaching was not shown and displayed by anybody on that sideline with a headset outside of Thomas Brown, who was up in the booth. What we saw in the first quarter, what the Packers were allowed to do, 3 yards on the sideline, smacking Bears, and no flags were thrown, and you didn't see a D-pants head coach fired up like LaFleur was all game, you should have got a tendency understanding of what this guy was going to do in the fourth quarter when he completely had a colonoscopy on the sideline, when you had a marvelous opportunity with a perfect script with Tom Brady in the booth to beat your legendary rivals right there in your home field to turn your season around, and you let the time tick off to get your kick blocked like you didn't watch football a week ago when you saw it happen in Kansas City. Understand the rules, Eberflus. You just lost it. It's over. I don't know if those two pros up there can tell you when you lose a game like that and lose a Hail Mary in one season, can you still legitimately, as veterans, still show up to work and believe the guy that's ahead of you? No, no. Thomas Brown should get the keys moving forward because he was the only guy that showed that he had the moxie and the ability to get those guys to perform and execute at a level that was winning worthy. I'm done, man.
Well, Shad, we appreciate the phone call. Let me just say real quick before I let the experts speak on it. It is one game, and the league has a way of humbling success. So, yes, Thomas Brown deserves his flowers for what he put together in a very short period of time. I definitely would like to see it again, and I'd like to see him prove it again against what he's going to face next week, which is Flores. Ooh. So let's – before we say that – one performance allows us to now elevate him from passing game coordinator to head coach of the team. I'd like to see a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. And then if Shad was having an issue with taking the clock down to 4 seconds or 3 seconds or whatever it was, kicking the field goal, that's what you do. You trust your field goal team to go out there and protect. You trust your field goal kicker to go out there and make the kick. So to me, that's not a coaching error. That's what you do. You just got to execute. You got to block.
You hate to talk about all this stuff, right? But should they know also where their protection can hold up from? But there were so many different guys in there, right? Like, was Bates on the field goal team before he got hurt? Right? Would he have been the starting left guard? Did he go out that early? I don't know after the first one. I don't know who was in there, but
he probably would have been the right guard because Borum
right guard
came in.
Right.
Normally you flip your guards
and stay in the field goal.
Yes.
So it's just a like short yardage, right? It's just Pryor's got to get his pads down, right? And again, the week you move on from Nate Davis, it rears its head again, right? That's who would have been in that spot. It would have been Nate Davis there playing that field goal spot. And it's just it just seems like some decisions here are catching up to this football team in a game that was winnable. It was a winnable football game. But if you go all the way back through it again, talked about the penalty, 7 penalties for 50 yards. Shows up again this late in the season, right? Motion penalties. Just on guys like DJ Moore, right? Offsides penalties on a third and on a D lineman, on a third and a fourth down. Just a really bad penalties.
Yep.
You know, just a lack of discipline and that kind of stuff eventually ends up losing you games.
But here's the thing. This team against the Commanders and the Packers today overcame that.
Yeah.
Right? Because of 18. He put him in position to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, the little things at the end, but that's what we talk. In the past, we've never had a quarterback to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We've never had a situation where we're celebrating in there, waiting for a kick to be made or an interception or a Hail Mary to be knocked down, and it didn't work.
And there were two really bad games, right? Arizona, mm-hmm. And then blanking on who was right
Patriots.
After Patriots. But before that, he did that a lot, right? And we've seen this from him before this year,
mm-hmm.
right? So that is a good sign. From a young quarterback, is just, man, these games are heartbreaking to lose.
They very much are. We're going to continue to take your phone calls. We'll act as therapists this afternoon. 312-644-6767. It's the Great Clips post-game show presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago and TimberTech Decking and Railing. Olin, Patrick, and me, I'm Lauren, sitting in for Mully. We'll discuss it all with you and take your phone calls next on the screen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Four.
Love. Looking in deep trouble. Escapes. Going to try and run for it himself. Got a way to go, and he's not going to get there. The Bears make a stand.
That is our hit of the game, brought to you by S-Wing Professional Tools. Made in the USA for 100 years, S-Wing.com. I'm so jealous of Mully and Haw. Got those S-Wing axes. Oh, my God, that is beautiful, beautiful craftsmanship. We are at Wonderverse in Oak Brook. It is the Great Clips postgame show. Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, I'm Lawrence Holmes sitting in for Mully. The Bears lose 20-19. Cairo Santos' field goal was blocked at the end of the game to secure the win for Green Bay. We are taking your phone calls. We're also talking about the good that went on in this game as well. Caleb Williams, 23 out of 31 in this game for 231 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions, a passer rating of 95. And DeAndre Swift averaged 5 yards a carry in this game. And even though it looked like at times Josh Jacobs was better, DeAndre Swift comes up with the toss crack touchdown run where you see Braxton Jones like bulldozer a defender, and things look great. Until they didn't, which has been part of the story this year for the
Bears.
That's
two really bad chapters of this year.
Yeah, it's really, really messed up. Let's go out to Rockford and talk with Mike. Hey, Mike, you're on the postgame show. Oh, we lost Mike. That's all right. We can go to Steven. Hey, Steven, you're on the Great Clips postgame show.
Hey, guys. I'm numb right now. I was at the Patriots game last week. And I do regret my decision to a degree. I just had enough with Matt Eberflus, just like everybody else. This coach has had the audacity to blame it on the players for so long. That Washington game was like the final, camel, breaking the back and that straw or something like that. But Matt Eberflus coaches not to win, but he literally coaches to lose and try to find the silver lining or find a positive things in a loss. This man just doesn't care about winning football. This man just keeps finding new ways, or innovative or not, to find ways to lose. And the morality of the players who are constantly being bogged down by this man on that final drive when the Bears could have gotten at least 5 to 10 more yards with about 46 seconds left, with one timeout left, and you couldn't even have the balls to let Caleb do the things that he had to do to lead to a winning drive. And I'm really afraid that he's going to find ways to put this on Caleb or something, because he took a bad sack on that fourth, that last drive, and then he was like, well, I didn't want Caleb to get sacked again or throw a pick or whatever. Because, Caleb did all he could under Thomas Brown, who I believe that has more, attitude and has more guts than Matt Eberflus well in his entire career. So I just think that at this point, keeping Eberflus just to lose games like this does nothing for the players, and I think that maybe this puts them closer to firing Eberflus midseason. And I hope that Ryan Poles sees it too, because I think he's on a thinner ice than most people think, Poles is. I think he's on a, much shakier ground than a lot of people, give credit to. Thank you.
Thanks for the phone call. We appreciate it. It's hard to overcome, multiple, six-game losing streaks, and then you have a four-game losing streak inside of a season where you're supposed to win. It's hard to overcome that. And when you can question some of the things that the coaches did inside of that losing streak, it's a hard thing to wrap your head around.
How much today – this isn't Bears fans probably don't want to hear this, because I don't have Eberflus's back. They lost the game. But how much would you really put this on him? I mean, NFL games come down to the two-minute drill, right? And our quarterback got us down to the position to win the game. I don't remember any glaring issues that Eberflus had. I mean, maybe the one with the Christian Watson catch.
Yeah,
do you call that or not? Because you save a timeout for the 2 minute, but they still got him down for a 46-yard field goal. So I don't put this one on Matt Eberflus. I don't. Maybe it's just me, like I said, the old special teams player that you got to go out there and execute and make that come down. And we're talking completely different, right? We're like you said, we're throwing them bouquets and saying what a great job they did bouncing back and firing a guy and going out there and beating a good Green Bay Packers team.
Yeah, I mean, I know what everybody wants to talk about. I understand what they're saying. I mean, it's frustrating with the coach, and you go through the game and pick it apart, right? And it does land his doorstep, and I'm sure he knows that. I'm sure he does, and Pat is right. with the players making plays, and that this is what we were talking about earlier, right? Like, if it's Shane Waldron, and it's all the coaches, right? It's all the coach and offensive staff. But, you know, in this game, like, you're watching Caleb Williams hit Odunze 4th-and-3 back shoulder ball. That's a gutsy throw, mm-hmm. man. Gutsy throw out there, one-on-one, Odunze catches. And then with 1:08 left to get in the field goal range, guys, the young quarterback reads the blitz, checks to a 7-man protection, and hits Keenan Allen to get the team in field mm-hmm. goal range. There is good in this game, just like the Washington game. What I was worried about was Arizona and the Patriots. There was no good at all.
Right.
Right? That's what you start to worry about. And listen, if firing Shane Waldron got some accountability in that building and lit this fire that we watched today, fine. Now it's time to learn how to win. And here's the challenge to all the older guys who will always give you their opinion. Teach the team how to win, man.
Yep.
Teach the team
yep.
how to win games. Hold everybody accountable. At the end of the games, do your guys' job to win the game. Period.
And I want to know how many plays did Caleb have where he was in charge. It didn't seem like as many. And you go back and talk about the last two games, it seems like he was in charge of the line of scrimmage and making a lot of checks and making a lot of changes and obviously making the wrong decision. To me, it looked like Thomas Brown dialed that down. There was one, I forgot, I'm trying to look for it, where we were talking about it. They put it in his hands. He looked like he just called a play. Like he didn't really understand what the defense
was. It
was
like a 1-yard loss.
And it didn't work, yes. But to me, it just seemed like they took that game, that part of the game plan out of his hands and it worked.
And it's funny, too, and I don't know if you guys saw it differently than I did. I felt like he was having more fun in this game
yes.
than he's had in a long time. And it's adding a couple of the zone reads in there and him making the plays and converting those third downs at a really high rate inside of this game, keeping the clock moving, like all of that stuff. And you're seeing him actually have fun. So maybe it did take a little bit of the pressure off of him to not have to do as much inside of this game. And just it looked like he was playing more freely
yes.
in this game.
He was more accurate, too.
100%.
And he gave some guys chances. He threw the ball. Like I said this week, I forgot who I was maybe talking to you or whoever I was talking to, that, you know, I'm not afraid of him throwing an interception because I just seem like he's too scared to throw one. Give your guys a chance. You got three very good receivers over there, and he seemed like he did that today. The one to Keenan Allen that was almost an unbelievable catch, he looked covered, but he said, screw it. I'm throwing it to him. I'm giving him a chance. And I like that.
He's got a lot more strength and athleticism than you think he mm-hmm. has. He really does when you watch him play. Remember we were watching that one zone read, and I was like, man, they've gone to the well. I said, zone read again.
I was starting to get scared.
Yeah, zone read again. And then he made number 7, a linebacker, miss right in the hole.
Quay Walker,
yep. Took it up the field. Got his shoulder pads low. And to Pat's point, to your point, Lawrence, maybe that is what he needs.
Mm-hmm.
And he is pretty savvy at not taking hits, right? You worry about when guys start using their legs too much, them getting hit. But he reminds me a little bit of Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray, where he doesn't take those shots. He gets down fast or he gets out of bounds. He knows when his time is up. Now, to get them in to that 4th-and-3 where he hit Odunze, he had to break a tackle too there in that pocket. And even on the sack on Braxton Jones, when you lose your left guard, as Pat knows, when you have something called slide protection, your left guard has to look out to the tackle and help him on a bull rush. Curran doesn't move.
He didn't do it.
He sits on the line of scrimmage and doesn't move. And that's just, again, you have a new guy in there. And then Braxton comes back. So how much work had they? I would guess, I don't know how many reps Curran has got at guard, right? At left guard.
Yeah. With Braxton.
Yeah, with Braxton. Yeah, I would say.
Probably the second, third teams.
Two or three reps,
yeah.
right? And,
yeah.
and guess when it shows up? In critical
yeah.
situations. And again, I talked to you again about their plan at offensive line. And it catching up. And it, like Pat knows, you know when the details catch up, you know when your plan catches up, in critical situations in football, right? So in that building, they all got to take a good look at, like, we always talk about, why are you really losing games? And it's easy to just say, man, he's got to sit down that. No. But let's take a look at the whole picture here and see what's going on and why we're losing games and get that fixed.
312-644-6767 is the number if you'd like to join us on the Great Clips post-game show. Let's go out to Kill Deer and let's talk with Dean. Hey, Dean, you're on the score.
Hey, hello, guys. A couple of things. It really comes down to details. I'm disappointed that Patrick's still giving a bye to Eberflus. I mean, at the beginning of the game, 3rd and 11, what's our history on 3rd and 11? Play to 4, soft defense. We give up a long pass. Details, bring in the 5th guy. They have seldom done that this year. 4th and 3, details. Green Bay calls a timeout. Tell our guys, do not go and do offside. What happens offside? Right. During the last drive, why not try to get a couple of more yards to come closer? That is, and maybe back off the field goal, so make it a 7-drop or 8-drop or 9-drop to get a avoid the block. That is, I think our coach doesn't have the details nor the intelligence. I'm sorry to say that doesn't take risk. And I'll end this by asking one last question to the folks there: what's the number one job of a quarterback?
To win games.
I think that's the answer he was looking for. Okay, well, I mean, he came after you pretty strong there, Patrick.
That's all right. I'm not giving Coach a buy or pass or whatever he said. I just – this wasn't his worst game. It should have been won if they execute the darn field goal. And that's where I just look inside myself, and that upsets me. But in about the – let's talk about the last situation there. 34 seconds left. You had one timeout left. What else would you do when you feel like you're in a comfortable situation to make the field goal? And we can go back to the Mark Trestman kicking on 2nd down. That's a completely different thing. I was there. We're on the sideline, not even knowing we're going to have to run out to go kick a field goal. So it truly was a last-second field goal because we weren't ready for it. But this one, you know, you're watching the whole thing. You've done this operation how many times on Thursdays? How many times you run through two-minute drill and you set up different times and you have the kicking team run out there and they understand, all right, what hash do you want it on? We have 34 seconds, one timeout. We're going to try to center the ball for you. What's your yard line where you really feel comfortable? And he had a 46-yard field goal. And it's and I'm just upset that the ball might have been a little low. I want to see the sideline copy as well. But they still have to protect better up front.
It's amazing in this league. I haven't checked the stat in a really long time. But most games come down to 9 points or fewer in the league. And if you take a look around the league this week, you have the Eagles winning 26-18. You have the Bears losing by 1. You have the Rams beating the Patriots by 6. You have the Colts winning by 1. You have the Steelers winning by...
The Steelers beat the Ravens?
Justin Fields came in with an 8-yard run, a zone read 8-yard run to seal the game at the end. So they win 18-16. You have a couple of blowouts, but most of the games are one-possession games. And this is what Olin has been talking about for weeks. The idea of those little details change the way a game can go. And when you're in a one-possession game, it makes a difference.
Yes.
All the way around. And you have to figure out how to – like, I guess this is the learning to win part, You have to figure out how to take those losses and turn them into wins because you're more buttoned up. And the thing is, the Packers didn't look buttoned up today.
No.
They were out of control. Jordan Love did the things that you wanted him to do. He also made the crazy plays. You know, the double coverage throw down the field to Watson. Then the throw on the other side. Like, all of that stuff. That's why it's so disappointing. The next time you play them, I don't think that you're going to get all of the breaks that you got.
No.
You know, officials missing penalties.
True. Right.
You know, like, there's all sorts of stuff that you got, and that's the difference between being a winning team and a losing team.
Yeah, you said, you know, you got to turn losses into wins. Right now, they're turning wins into losses, right? And that's hard to watch. That's hard to watch, and the only doorstep that can lay at is the coaching doorstep and the plan, right? The plan of who's on the field actually making the mistakes, and that's the guy who buys the groceries, right? That's the guy who gets the players in the building when you're watching him. The offense twice, right? At the end of the first half, 13 plays, 76 yards, 5 minutes and 42 seconds, touchdown, right? Then they come right back out, 10 plays, 61 yards, field goal. It's 13-7, right? Then at the end, they got to find a way to score more points, obviously. 19 points is not enough, right? But then at the end of the game, I mean, 3rd and 19, who gave them a chance?
Right.
Right, who gave them a chance to convert that? So, if you're a Bears fan right now, you know, you lost 4 in a row. You lost 2 really heartbreaking losses. But your young quarterback is making plays. Yeah. I guess that's what you hang on.
Yeah.
All right, let's take another timeout. We're going to hear your phone calls again, 312-644-6767. We're going to hear from Matt Eberflus. We're going to hear from Caleb Williams. So don't go anywhere. It's the Great Clips postgame show presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago and TimberTech Decking and Railing. Olin and Patrick will be back after this on The Score.
Now you put it on Santos, who is a great kicker. Only missed two this year. But you need a smooth operation. We saw what happened in the Kansas City game, Denver game. Can't take anything for granted.
Here we go, 46 yards. For Caleb Williams.
Wow.
It's the Great Clips postgame show presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago, TimberTech Decking and Railing. It's a heartbreaker. We've been talking about it. We're going to continue talking about it about for the next hour or so. You will hear from Matt Eberflus and Caleb Williams in the 4 o'clock hour. Olin Kreutz is here. Patrick Manley is here. The Bears lose. They drop to 4-6. They've lost four games in a row after starting out 4-2. And you're trying to balance the disappointment with the loss with any sort of growth that you might have seen. And I think it's going to be rough for people today, Patrick. I think they're going to be the people that are going to come after you.
I got it. That's fine. The text line's already saying I'm stupid and all that stuff, which is fine. That might mean I'm right, though.
It might mean that you're right.
I don't know. I'm just kidding.
And we're taking
to your point, like the field goal has to be executed.
Yes.
Right? If as a coach, I have to feel like I have to keep getting more yards. Like,
yeah.
Like how far is an extra point now?
33 yards.
33 yards. This is 13 yards farther than an extra point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In today's kicking environment or whatever you want to call it, culture, They make these, no problem. And I understand there's pressure, man. It's a game-winning kick to beat the Packers at Soldier Field. Everybody's on their feet. But you're paid to do that. And it's not only Cairo's paid to do that. The long snapper, the holder, and the line up front is paid to do that.
Well, 1st and 10, they run the ball. Remember now, they get pushed. The Bears blockers get pushed into the backfield about 3 or 4 yards. Roshan has to bounce out and just get back to the line of scrimmage wherever he can get. Mm-hmm. If I'm a coach, I'm a little worried now. Right, I'm a little worried that I got a young quarterback. How much do I want to put on his plate? Like, if you throw the ball there, and he gets sacked, you see him like. And I know. It's a scared and it's play whatever it is. But like you're saying, Pat, you go with your plan.
Sure.
Of what you had going into the game, Cairo Santos says, Coach, and your specialty coach says, Coach, this is my range. Mm-hmm. I am right where I want to be on the left hash. I'm going to put that through the uprights. I trust my kicker who I gave an extension to.
Yep.
Right, I trust him.
Yep.
Right, but and I'll go back to the fact that, okay, the problem is who's blocking.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Who is in there blocking for my field goal and where they my original plan? And once you start going down the line there, that's when you run into problems.
Yep. That's what it is. I mean, I've watched it over and over and over, and it's just they get in the 2A gaps and they blow up the long snapper and the guards and – I wish Roberto Garza was listening because I always leaned on him to help me out. And that's what the guards do with the long snapper. But you're still a three-man blocking shield protection or whatever you want to call it in there. And knowing it's a game-winning kick, they are coming harder, and you have to protect it just a little differently. And they didn't do it.
Southside, let's go to Robert. Robert, you're on the Great Clips postgame show.
Yeah, there's a couple of things I want to talk about. I want to say about Jalen Johnson got beat on that last play at, you know, Green Bay. That, remember that play at the end?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he fell down, and the guy made it all the way to the 8 yard line. He got to do some explaining to do on that one. And as far as the coaching, why is it that LaFleur has won two games by last second field goals, right? And Bears can win a last second game for, say, their life. What's going on with that? You tell me.
Well, the argument would be that the Packers are a better coach team, that LaFleur has his team ready to win those games because they've been in those close games before, and they did a lot of it last year with Jordan Love. I mean, I get your point. Like, if you're trying to tell us, hey, guys, Matt LaFleur is better than Matt Eberflus, you're not going to get an argument from anyone here or anyone who's listening. We will hear from Matt Eberflus, though. We have to take a quick timeout. When we come back on the Great Clips post-game show, presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse, Chicago and TimberTech Decking and Railing, you will hear what the coach's explanation of everything was. What did he see at the end of the game? That's next here on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.